And a good Friday morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN. Coming up later in the show, just after 9:30, we'll talk with guests from the Sunset Zoo. Normally they join us on Mondays, but of course that was Memorial Day. And so we'll get an update on summer camps, virtual summer camps, and other things related to the zoo. But we're going to kick things off in the first half of the show, talking about media deserts. We've got some guests in the studio. I'm joined in the studio here by Nick McNamara. Good morning, Nick.
Hello, Brandon. Thanks for having me in.
I appreciate that. Nick, of course, is a grad student at K-State studying, journalism?
Journalism, community media, and the like. A lot of stuff we're going to be talking about here just shortly.
All right. And our guests from Kansas State University, we have Steve Smethers, director of the A.Q. Miller Journalism and Mass Communications Department. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. Pleasure to have you on. Thank you. And Gloria Freeland, who was an assistant professor in the department at K-State, but just recently retired after, what, 31 years?
37.
37
years.
Okay.
Good morning.
Fantastic. Well, Gloria, appreciate you joining us on this, and congratulations on retirement. What a long time to serve anywhere.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed it. It's been sort of a strange exit, though, with the COVID-19.
I'm sure it was.
And we've got to give you some props here, Gloria. You've done a great job. I haven't spoken to a single person around AQ that hasn't had a good thing to say about you. So congrats on a great career, and I'm sure we'll be seeing you around.
You bet.
All right. Well, let's get into the focus of our conversation here today. And Steve, I know you mentioned to me here earlier this week, you've been doing some studies here in terms of media deserts here in the state of Kansas. One study in particular involved Baldwin City.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe the best way for us to frame this, Brandon, is this way. That this, I think, is going to become an emerging sociological problem. And here's what I mean about it. The loss of any kind of a media channel in a small town is very, very significant. You know, and I think in order to understand this, we need to explain something. The definition of community. The definition of community, and this is according to a sociological definition that I use in the classes that I teach. Community is a common bond, a feeling of cohesiveness and shared values among a group of people. And there is nothing that helps people share values more than having centralized communication. And when you stop and think about it, any community in the state of Kansas was built around having this kind of a resource. Even the smallest of towns today, maybe their newspapers aren't around anymore, but certainly in the early days, as people headed across the prairies, as they settled here, they couldn't bring big, expensive, and heavy printing presses with them. And so many of the rural communities had handwritten newspapers, where I start a newspaper and I write down all the news of my family and I pass it on to your family. You write your news, and when that paper has made its way around and everybody's read the news, then it's time to do a new one. And so we finally got printing presses out here in all of our towns, and we could have newspapers at the time, but it was the idea that we were communicating and we were sharing those values as a community. And when you don't have that source, it's a real issue. And so we're finding right now that there are all kinds of impediments to the continued smooth operation of local media. We have business communities that are dwindling. We have town populations that are dwindling. We find a huge age gap in the amount in the people who will consume legacy media, which we call newspaper, radio, and TV, and magazine legacy media. We find that to be an issue. And we also find that there's a huge issue in terms of ownership. That is, people are not wanting to invest in small-town media anymore. And so as we find all of these threats out there, we can see that there is a threatened loss of local news coverage and of the exchange of information inside of the community. So if you look at this academically or practically, you're talking about a real problem if we can't get people on the same page, no pun intended, when we're talking about the messages that we're trying to convey in a small town. And I can't imagine us right now existing in this COVID-19 environment without the daily leadership that you provide at KMAN and without the daily leadership that we see provided in the Manhattan Mercury. Local media has been the lifeline in this crisis. And imagine us not having that, and imagine the utter confusion that we would have if we didn't have that available. So anyway, that in a nutshell is our problem. And there are a lot of side issues that are related to this that we can get to later.
And that's really important to talk about there, Steve, especially relating to how we're dealing with this pandemic currently and the impact it's having on local businesses and how that filters into the media world as well. And as we mentioned at the beginning, we're talking a little bit about news deserts, and these influences and these factors you discussed lead toward the prevalence and the growth of news deserts. And I think it might be good. There's a lot of folks who might be able to infer what news deserts mean. Maybe we should talk a little bit about what the definition of news deserts is and sort of how we identify them.
Sure. A news desert is any situation where changing media consumption habits or a financial hardship, an economic downturn, will cause a loss of local news coverage. And so you can have a newspaper, but if there's nothing in it, then you've got a news desert. You can have a local radio station, but if all that local radio station is satellite programming, then you've got a news desert. So it's not necessarily the loss of a media channel. It is the loss of having that service provided. And a couple of years ago, the A.Q. Miller School of Journalism and Mass Communications and the Huck Boyd National Center for Community Media brought in Penny Abernathy, who's a professor at the University of North Carolina. And she's a specialist in studying news deserts. And at that time, she said the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta openly said that they were dreading the day that there was another epidemic because of the loss of local media being able to get the information out to people in rural areas. And what have we seen here? We have seen a loss of local media, we've seen a pandemic, and we've seen that the messages aren't necessarily coming through about COVID-19. They've come through great here in Manhattan, but to what extent have they come through in other communities in Kansas that may not be so lucky as to have a good family-owned newspaper and radio station providing that kind of information? You know, one thing that I hope everybody who listens to this morning will do is thank Corey Dean and to thank Ned Seaton here in Manhattan for caring about Manhattan and providing local news. I might point out, Nick, that this radio station is an anomaly. KMAN still is attempting to serve a local audience with good local information, and you just don't find that in very many communities anymore. A lot of stations go through the motions, but KMAN still does it. And I think that's a real feather in the cap for the management of both media operations.
Well, those are very kind words, and you know, it's a service I know that we all don't take lightly here at the radio station. But you mentioned these deserts, and it gets increasingly harder. And I know this working in the industry, and I know Nick does too. You want to cover as much as you can as a reporter, and you want to make sure you're not missing things. But when you got to go cover Manhattan and then also surrounding communities where they may not have a news outlet, it becomes very tough.
Yes, it does. And it is really difficult to go beyond your own boundaries. And research that Gloria and I will talk about here in a second really helps to fortify this idea. You don't have the manpower to cover everything that goes on in, let's say, Leonardville or in Raleigh. You don't have the manpower to do that. You may be able to get a story up there every once in a while, And you may even be able to identify with the community because you have those stories on every once in a while. But you're not going to have the full complement of news. And we have found this to be a real problem as towns lose newspapers. They tend to look to regional media, you know, to provide that news coverage. And sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
Let me just interject here. I'd like to give a shout-out to Donna Sullivan at the Riley Countian because she still publishes the weekly Riley Countian, which I think the circulation is around 1,000. But she's still covering the community. Even with COVID-19, she had graduation pages that were sponsored by local people. She had homeschool pictures of kids working in their gardens and doing things like that since they didn't have classes. So wanted to give a shout out to her too.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of our favorites to read up here. Every Thursday it comes in here, and I always put it on my desk. And our Sherry, who works here, says, "Hey, that's Nick's favorite paper."
Oh yeah, that's my favorite mail day. I love that day. That came in.
I'll tell you what. Let's talk about the research. We'll do that after a break here. We're gonna pay some bills here. We'll come back more on News Radio KMAN's In Focus after this.